Fantastic to have your company wherever you might be listening. We will head back to your calls very shortly. Dwayne's worked for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it and they deliver. And we're here for Rapid Tune. We'll keep you moving. Book online at rapidtune.com.au. Greg Swan, Brisbane Lions CEO, has been good enough to join me. Welcome to you, Greg. Thanks for your time.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you this morning, more importantly? did you go down to the rooms after or are you not in town?
I wasn't in town. I stayed in Brisbane. So I was got a bit going on here. So no, I didn't. I wouldn't have been allowed in anyway. So I watched it from home, and they were too good. The Cats. They were fantastic in that third quarter, and too good.
Did you put your shoe through the telly? What were your problems last night as a viewer?
It was interesting because I thought we probably could have been a bit further ahead halfway through that second quarter. I thought we were dominating and we missed a few and it just could have been a bit cleaner. And then it just transformed. I mean, our strengths normally are contested ball and, center clearances, and third quarter we just got absolutely smashed. And, they've got players still, the Cats, and they capitalised. So it was a bit frustrating. I mean, I saw on the coverage that, we'd won three quarters, but we got pollaxed in the third. You don't really count the last quarter, really. I think Geelong were just going through the motions. But, it was a massive turnaround. And, hopefully Fags and the boys can work out what happened.
So you're at you're in Sydney for another game. You play the Giants at Giants Stadium next week. How long are you expecting your guys to be down in Sydney, or at least in New South Wales?
I think because we played the Victorian team yesterday, so we have to stay in Sydney for 2 weeks. So effectively today, 2 weeks today, we could leave if we had to. But I don't know the draw yet. But I'm assuming that we'll stay for another 2 days and play again in Sydney. So I think we'll play that GWS game, and then I think we'll play again in Sydney the following week, and then we'll come back to Brisbane.
And you expect that the way it transpires, you might not have to leave Brisbane other than a fly-in, fly-out visit for the rest of the year, because you won't have to go to Adelaide and you won't have to go to Perth?
No, that's the interesting one. And, there's talk of a little bit of a mini hub up in Darwin and things like that. But, because there's, effectively there's eight teams in Queensland, so we might end up playing for nominal purposes an away game at Metricon. We might play whoever's up here, Carlton or Bulldogs, or at Metricon as an away game, and obviously our home games would be at the Gabba. I don't know that for sure, but that sort of makes perfect sense, because otherwise, as you said, we won't go to Adelaide and we won't go to Perth, so because we've already played those two teams, those four teams, and everyone's up here. So we'll do the Sydney leg. We've still got games, obviously, against the Suns we can have, and we haven't played the Swans. So you could theoretically be going back to Sydney to play the Swans, and that's fair enough. But most likely we'll be between Brisbane and probably Sydney, or maybe a trip to Darwin. But we certainly don't envisage heading to Melbourne anytime soon.
Hobart at all? Tassie at all? Launceston at all?
Well, someone said they've locked that off as well today. So
okay,
that was somebody rang me this morning and said, well, you won't be going to Tassie either. So
right. Okay.
Well, we've already played Hawthorn, so it's probably unlikely down and play North. Yeah, it's probably unlikely we'd go there anyway, but someone said that they've locked it off. So, I'd hate to be Travis and Marcus King trying to get the draw, because it changes every, really quickly, and it's we're in a difficult situation. But from the game's point of view, playing, like, this is the first time ever, obviously, that every round this week is in Sydney or Brisbane or Queensland or New South Wales. So it's we've had fantastic coverage up here of all the teams, and the teams have been great, giving access to local media and the papers and things, and for their training and what they're up to outside of playing and things. So we are getting a lot of great publicity for the code. So that's one bonus from everybody having to be up here.
Can I play a little bit of Malcolm Blight yesterday? It's saying that if the grand final is not in Victoria, the AFL should look after the footy states in South Australia and WA and not have the grand final in one of the non-traditional footy states. Is Blighty from yesterday?
Hey, the idea of the grand final at ANZ Stadium, you would have done plenty of games there in the Channel 10 days. It's an awful stadium.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think there's some things we should promote our game, and we're doing it beautifully with the teams in Sydney and the team in Brisbane. And I heard what you said, and I think either Perth or Adelaide, if it's not going to be the MCG, it's got to be Perth or Adelaide. You know, I think we've got to look after our own. In the dire straits of need, you look after yourself. And I think we've done that as a state, generally speaking, and also as a country. If you see the rampant stuff of COVID around the world, we've done pretty well. But you look after your own first. And I reckon we look after the AFL states, strengthy states first.
Your thoughts on that, looking after our own, Greg?
Well, he's got a short memory, Blighty, because I don't think South Australia and WA have been great for the code this year. I mean, the two states that have opened their doors and gone back, you know, bent over backwards to help with New South Wales and Queensland. So I'm not sure that I agree with that. Yeah, we wouldn't be playing if it wasn't for those two states at the moment. So, look, Lynchy had a thing in the paper up here the other day that
I saw it.
Whoever finished on top at the end of the season should get first dibs at having it. And I think that's logical. I mean, if it's West Coast or Port or whoever, then, you know, they get first. Right. So, look, having said all that, it's not an easy answer. I mean, there'll be the finances and there'll be whatever contractual arrangements they've got at the MCG and whether they can get out of that. But, I mean, I think we've moved now, though, from it makes sense to go somewhere where you can have a crowd. That seems to be, at least we've got past that, because early on it was like, oh, you just have to have it in Victoria no matter what. But I think, it was even interesting listening to Tom Hawkins after the game. I think there was only, you know, maybe 1,000 people there, but he said, oh, it was great to play in front of the crowd. Because it's hard playing when there's no crowd there. So if you can't get crowds back into Victoria, then obviously it should move, and then the debate will be happening about whether it's Perth, you know, with a bigger capacity, or ANZ, which has got the biggest capacity, or even up here with, you know, if the Suns or ourselves happen to, you know, fluke getting on top of the ladder, then, you know, maybe that's an option. But I'm sure the AFL will look at all that and work it out.
So does the capacity count against you at the Gabba, given that it's, what, 38?
Close to 40. Probably. Yeah, probably. But as I said, it's, you know, I think, I like Lynch's idea because it was sort of almost a fairness thing. I mean, everybody accepts that you played at the MCG, but if you can't, what is the alternative? And so maybe it's a little bit more favourable for those that have finished on top of the ladder. And I mean, that they've got to get there as well, probably. You can still finish on top and maybe not make it. But if you do make it, that seems to be, you know, if you're looking at fairness, that's probably the fairest thing. But commerciality will come into it. So, you know, ANZ, with its capacity of 80-odd thousand plus, you know, that'll be high up, as well as probably the Optus ground, which is bigger than Adelaide Oval, I think.
Gerard Waitley, I think I set this up because I was arguing with him yesterday about there's an integrity in having 17 weeks of a home and away season to determine somebody gets an advantage by being great for the home and away season. So you do need to reward them for finishing higher on the ladder, surely.
Yeah, well, look, we haven't cooperated in this conversation, but it's weird what's happening. It's so, you know, so whoever ends up on top has overcome all sorts of, you know, issues along the way. I mean, even, you know, talking to Brian Cook, so they finished their Sydney stint, now they're off to Perth, you know. So it's just hard. Everything's, when I say it's hard, it's just different. Everything's changed. And so if you manage to, you know, finish on top at the end of the home and away season and manage to get an advantage by playing the grand final in your home state, I reckon you've earned it. But, so, you know, and the tradition of, you know, to say that, oh, you've got to look after the traditional states, I don't know why. I mean, we're playing footy in all the states, so, you know, what's the difference? We've had good crowds here. We're allowed to have crowds, or we had, you know, 10,000, and then we were allowed to have a little bit more our last home game. So, You know, and as I said, those two governments, New South Wales and Queensland, have really been great supporters in this tough times. And I wouldn't say they've made it easy for us, but they've made it easier than some of the other states to play the game. So, yeah, I don't think that should be discounted either.
Do you think the Queensland government would lobby on the basis that they have provided the AFL with a huge red carpet rolled out for them?
Look, I'm not sure. I'm obviously not privy to what's those conversations between various governments, but I think they could certainly raise it without any contradiction anyway, because, you know, as we said, they've been really accommodating, you know, to have eight teams here. You know, probably now it'll be for the next month or however long, maybe 5 weeks, whatever it is. Yeah, they've been good. I mean, there's stringent conditions on it all, but, you know, at least it's, you know, our borders open today except for Victorians. So, you know, it is freeing up here. And, I mean, just as an aside, the Tigers are playing Swans at the Gabba tomorrow, and I think there was just under 5,000 capacity, and the tickets sold out in 3 minutes. So, you know, people are hanging out to watch footy up here. So, obviously, there's a lot of Tigers and probably Swan supporters, but mainly Tigers, I'd say, up here. And they've snapped the tickets up, and, yeah, at least there'll be, again, some crowd for them to play in front of tomorrow. So,
So what is the process for getting a ticket? I had a couple of calls. If you've got a team, two teams playing on neutral ground, how do they go about getting a ticket? Do they and your own members playing down in
Sydney,
do they go about getting a ticket?
Well, yesterday it was a Geelong designated home game, so they call it 1,000 tickets. They got 350, and we might have got 150 or something. And then there was corporates and SCG members and whatever else there. Actually, I'm not even sure whose home game it is tomorrow. I don't know whoever's designated it to be the home team. I assume it's Richmond. But so again, the split would have been their members probably got, you know, the members that are up here, because we've got about we had 700
it's Richmond's
members
home
in Sydney
game at the Gabba. Yeah.
So their members up here would get first rights, I would think, and then the Swans members and. Okay. Then I know some of the Gabba Trust have got some seats as well. But, you know, I think for us next week, for example, playing the Giants, I think it's about 5,000 we can get. So our, you know, those members that we've got in New South Wales can hopefully get a ticket to that. We can get more in next week anyway. So hopefully we can get a ticket, more of them can get a ticket.
And do you make any phone calls about your injuries? Do you do that? Are you the kind of CEO who gets on the phone and asks how McLuggage and Robinson are, or do you wait until you get told?
Yeah. No, I've heard. Robbo's all right. He's he had a corky, but it wasn't a deep one, they didn't think. So and we're a bit lucky because we've got a 9-day break now because we don't play till next, you know, Saturday, tomorrow week. So he should be okay, and Hugh was off getting scans, but I haven't heard what the result of those are. He finished the game. They sort of thought he'd be okay, but, you know, you never quite know until you see the scans. So, they were the two major ones. There was a few other bumps and bruises. There's a few sore boys, but I'm not trying to rub this into people in Melbourne, but I think it's pretty nice in Manly today. It was about 23 or 24, so they were in the surf trying to get the bumps and bruises off, which is a bit better than going into freezing Port Phillip Bay, which they normally do. So anyway, there's one small bonus for us.
Yeah, and a nice drive-by, even though you weren't trying to rub it in. before I let you go, the integrity of the season is interesting to me because we do... Damien Harvey's called for extra players on the bench if we have back-to-back five-day breaks, but I'm not sure that we should actually be doing that. I reckon we play the games however spaced apart we need to play them, to make it safe and okay for the players without having to add extra players to the bench. Would you be okay? And what are your thoughts about adding extra players to the bench mid-season, just changing that rule, just because we want to squeeze games in?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that's one thing that has been raised about extra players, but it is interesting. Before they went to Sydney, I'd spoken to a couple of our guys that with the shorter games and the bigger breaks between, you know, when you kick a goal, there's a bigger break, and when the ball comes back to the centre, there's an extra 30 seconds. They've actually pulled up really well, like most of the time, other than, you know, collision injuries, but from a physical and, you know, just tiredness point of view, they've actually pulled up pretty well. So they're not averse to playing in for 5 days, but it'll be the cumulative effect that, you know, if you have to do it, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks, you know, 5 games in a row, that'll probably start to take its toll. And so you might end up, I mean, we've always felt that it's going to be, you know, it's really important to have a good squad because you are going to get guys that are injured and, you know, you're going to have to bring new guys in and your depth's going to be tested. You know, a bit like what's happened with Richmond this weekend. I mean, you know, they've lost whatever it is, 6, 7 or 8 of how many they ended up losing. And, you know, it's a great test for their squad and, you know, they did it last year, so they'd probably be pretty confident they can do it. So that's probably going to be the bigger test. Whether by that stage, you put extra people on the bench, that's one that certainly can be debated. And there's probably, because we've never done it before, there's nothing to fall back on. So you can't really say, oh, look, this is the fallout. So there might be a little bit of tinkering as we go along. But at the moment, I don't think I certainly haven't heard any talk about extending the benches. So, but, you know, it will be interesting to see what toll's taken if we do end up playing, you know, call it 6 games in 30 days or whatever it'll be. It'll be a really good test for your squad and, you know, your medical team and your fitness team to keep them up. So, yeah, that's going to be a whole new ball game again. And that sort of reverts back to what we were saying before about if you end up on top after all those things happen to you, you should get some sort of bonus at the end of the year. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
Hey, a couple of quick ones before I let you go. Are you expecting that there'll be a mid-season weekend off for all players if we do get this cramming of games where we don't get any footy and it's almost a bye week so everyone can go home and rest and see family?
Yeah, I think that there'd be a chance for that for sure. I think at some stage that's likely. And I think that's part of the cramming, that you can actually then give yourself a bit of a window to, you know, reboot and give everyone a week off and go home and see families and everything else. I mean, and again, we hope, you know, you're hoping that in that period, whether it's after the 6-week lockdown, that, you know, the Vics have got on top of it and, you know, we can get freedom of movement again, and then, you know, then the whole thing opens up again, which would be great.
And do you read all the reports and hear the news reports about, you know, scuttlebutt about player trades? Charlie Cameron was named as being a possible trade, I think, by one report. Do you inquire about that or do you let it ride?
No, not that one. He's not going anywhere. No, that was a bit... I did see it, or I did hear about it, but no, we didn't follow it up because it's not true. So he'll be staying at the Lions, I have no doubt.
I bet you're selling a few Charlie Cameron T-shirts and jumpers.
He dropped a few marks last night, actually, Charlie. he wasn't one of his better ones, but no, we do. He's our most popular player, and most of the jumpers and T-shirts and things are Charlie Cameron stuff. So, and the kids love him. So, and he is a good player. So, you know, he's not going anywhere.
Great to have you, Swanee. Really enjoyed having a chat, dear. So, thanks for having an extended chat with me. We'll talk soon.
No worries. Thanks, Tony.
Greg Swan, Brisbane Lions CEO. 1-300-736-736. 1-300-736-736. When we come back from a break, Malcolm in South Australia coming to you as well. Promise to get back to your calls. That's the promise. You call, you get on.